This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Joe is not someone who's set in his ways. Joe is not someone who is going to sit there and think, you know, he's got all the answers. And Joe is someone who's curious about the outside world. He's curious about how to get better. He's curious about things going on around him. He's curious about his, you know, his players in this group and how to get the most out of them. And so, of course, he's going to go home and ask himself, you know, how can I be more effective? How can I get more out of this group? How can I do things differently?
Middays on the Score.
Some introspection, some serious stuff from Theo Epstein. And as we try to parse some of those comments and, like we say, go through some of this stuff like he's one of the Federal Reserve governors and find out how this portends for the future as we trade Cubs stock. I got to help us out with some of this stuff on the eve of the winter meetings. Is Sahadev Sharma. He writes for The Athletic. He is on Twitter at Sahadev Sharma, and he joins us now in Bernstein and McKnight on The Score. How are you, Sahadev?
I'm doing well, guys, trying to get ready for another fun Friday evening.
So what's your takeaway? What's your headline from what you heard from Theo yesterday?
Honestly, I think it's a reality check for anyone that thinks he's laying in the weeds for these big money players. It's just, you know, it's more of what, you know, all of us in the media have been trying to set expectations for, you know, internal improvements, things like that. I think that's the message. You heard a lot of where nobody's satisfied. Anyone that was didn't have that sense of urgency has it now. We learned our lesson. This is going to be a re-energized group. That type of stuff. I kept hearing that, whether it was talking about himself, talking about the players, talking about Joe. It's all about how can we maximize what we already have. They are going to improve around the margins. There are going to be things that they do to improve themselves, but they're not going to be what a lot of people expected coming into the offseason. It's not going to be Bryce Harper. It's not going to be Manny Machado. Don't expect this earth-shaking trade or anything like that. It could happen. Anything can happen. I will never put anything past Theo Epstein. He's got that ability to be very creative, and he doesn't like to have his hands tied and be stuck with something that he doesn't want. But it also doesn't sound like he's unhappy with what he has. I even straight up asked him, fans want this big money move, and you were the one that said that this offense is broken. How can you kind of reconcile the fact that this is broken and there's an easy fix sitting right in front of you, and you're not going to go after it? How do you explain that? And he said, well, we won 95 games last year, and I think we dramatically underperformed. It's really as simple as that. We should be able to improve upon 95 wins. I think that's fair in one sense. I also think it seems very counter to what I think he truly, the way Theo Epstein truly behaves, in the sense that you underperform, I'm not going to rely on you just improving and getting better when there are options, clear options to upgrade this team.
It almost feels, Sahadev, this text came in from the 773 that I thought was funny and kind of hit it on the nose, kind of as you've been talking. I want to yell into the void, the text says. I don't like what the Cubs are doing, all caps, thanks, back to normal. I think that kind of hits how a lot of people have seen this, and I wonder if Theo didn't paint himself into a corner in that 71-minute press conference, and now is using all of his artfulness and tact and reason and intelligence to get himself out of it over this winter.
Yeah, that's not unfair. I get where you're coming from. When you word things as strongly as he did right after the season ended, and then you don't go out and do something dramatic, and then you come back to saying internal improvements is what's going to fix this team. I understand the frustration. When I really look at everything, I also understand where he's coming from. When you take a step back, calm yourself down, and say, wait a second, Chris Bryant is going to be healthy. That 2018 isn't going to repeat itself. Wilson Contreras, you know, if he can find a backup catcher to kind of take the pressure off, all these, you know, we can go through the list up and down the lineup. There are guys that you can say, yeah, I see it. I get it. It makes sense. And like I just said, though, I would not feel comfortable relying solely on that when there are clear ways to fix this in other manners. And I mean, obviously Bryce Harper, but it doesn't have to just be that. There are other ways. And I just don't, you know, I think they will try and be creative, but it's not going to be that big splash. There are ways that they can improve. I think now, really, you know, you asked, Dan asked, what's the main message? I think something that I'm kind of overlooking too is Brandon Morrow is not going to be there to start the season.
Right.
And when you really think about it, can you expect him to come back in May, in June? When's he going to come back? It's Brandon Morrow. Listen, the guy, he's a great guy, hard worker, understands his body, great talent when he's on the field, but we know his history. It's not a secret. So they have to go out and get a dominant, high-leverage reliever. They can't go into the season with the bullpen that they currently have and just, you know, just go and get that Jesse Chavez type. And when I say Jesse Chavez, it's no rip on him. They unearthed a great, great reliever that nobody expects to be great, but you cannot go into next season with a bunch of guys like, hey, I think this guy's going to break out. It needs to be a guy that you know can shut down an opponent and get those final three outs.
The other thematic thread to me, Sahadev, gets back to this group of young position players that, while they all arrived ahead of schedule in 2015, they sort of paid the piper with all of them plateauing or regressing last year. And I'm not even talking about the injury to Bryant, but you know the group I'm talking about, with Schwarber, Almora, Happ, and Contreras, and everybody we've mentioned, you know, Addison Russell to some extent, that where when you keep turning over coaches and when you put the manager on lookout about urgency, what I feel is that Theo and Jed and Jason McLeod, they still think they're right about these guys. And they still think that these players are, that they know what they scouted. They know how hard they worked to determine who they'd be, how they would be, and how they would develop, and when they would get here. And I think it's making them crazy to see across the board that that all of them stalled out last year. And the theme is reclaim those assets. Do you agree?
Yeah, no doubt. I can almost feel that sense of being driven crazy, right? We probably all, when you watch a player or watch a team, and you know, no, I know this is better. I know they're better than this. It's almost like when Chris Bryant was playing, we didn't know he was hurt, and you were watching him play, and you were like, no, I know Chris Bryant. I know what Chris Bryant does. This is not him. And I honestly, I guess that's Wilson Contreras for me. Last year, I did not understand what was going on. I've watched this guy play. I know how he hits the ball, and that's not him. So yeah, that feeling must be, you know, exponentially greater for guys like McLeod and Epstein and Hoyer, who have, you know, stake their reputations on a lot of these players, and the fact that they're not living up to the hype has to be maddening. I think Kyle Schwarber is a prime example. Think about it. You can go back and say they chose Kyle Schwarber over Eloy Jimenez. Right now, that looks like a mistake. Eloy hasn't had a single at bat in the big leagues, but he's arguably the greatest offensive force outside of Vlad Jr. in the minors. It certainly has to be hard for them to accept. Probably us on the outside are much more willing to say time to move on. Absolutely. They expect these guys to be better. And I think you're right. The guys that you mentioned have that ability. I think, and like we said, probably right after Theo spoke, after the season ended, now it's up to them to figure out which guys they're going to hang their hats on and which guys they'll move on from. I still think there's possibility. When I say that it's all internal improvements, there's going to be some moves. I mean, one of those guys probably is going to be wearing a different uniform next year if they can get that right player. Theo, I noticed when I re-listened, Theo made a point to say he wants someone in that lineup that can make contact and hit good pitching. I think those two things, it's not just the making contact. It's that veteran presence, that Ben Zobrist type. And I think last time we spoke, I said maybe to move around some money, Ben Zobrist may be the guy that you have to move on from. I'm not sure if that's as crazy as I thought it was when I suggested it to you guys weeks ago. That may be, maybe it's not a terrible idea in the sense that he's coming off a great season. He's getting a little older, a year left. If you can get a guy, if you can get a piece that fills something else, move him to a contender and fill in somewhere else, and then get a second baseman that kind of holds down that position until Addison Russell comes back, if he comes back. So many different things. There's a way to make this team better. It's just not going to be the obvious ways that we've all been expecting when the season first ended.
Taking a look at the Cubs with Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Sahadev, who is Tommy Haddavy? Why was he the right guy for the Cubs pitching coach job? And why did it take so long to make the decision?
Yeah, I think, to answer the last part first, I just think it took so long to make the decision because they like to, go through, really go through the motions and do their due diligence and make sure they're not missing anything there. I think the decision was pretty much made before, but they're finalizing some things and they like to announce everything at once as far as the whole staff. So they were making sure Brandon Hyde didn't get another job. They had the assistant hitting coach, all that other stuff. They wanted all of that in place. They weren't just going to say Tommy Haddavy's the pitching coach and we'll announce the rest later. I think that's what was going on there. Who is Tommy Haddavy? He's been around the organization for a few years now. Former player, pitched with the Red Sox. He's pitched with a lot of these guys. He was with the Cubs. He's from the Kansas City area. He knows these guys. He's been a guy that before he was in uniform last spring, helping guys directly on with side sessions and stuff like that. He was always sitting in front of a computer or parsing through data or numbers and looking up different things and passing it along to Borzello or the pitching coach or talking directly to the players about these issues. And this guy has a unique ability to communicate with the players and get across concepts that they may be, may not want to embrace. And getting them to see that, hey, this is just something that is going to help you, and it's not as wild or out there as you may think it is, at first blush. He knows how to speak to each individual in a different way. It's not all going to be in the same fashion where, do this, do that, using complicated language that can turn off a certain player or using something that just goes over a pitcher's head. He's great at communicating. He puts in the work. Apparently, according to Theo, he had another offer. That wasn't the primary reason he got the job, but keeping him around and elevating Borzello, kind of keeping this pitching infrastructure that has worked, that's done really well. Even when this team was bad, remember those first halves, the pitching was always good. They were able to trade guys off because they were able to kind of get guys to play up. And that's part of what made this rebuild a success, and it's part of what helped them win a championship.
To what extent do you think Theo's comments, the fact that he called this press conference, he said, please come over to my office so we can talk. What is the significance of it to put things in the bloodstream publicly ahead of the winter meeting? Because I always ask myself, when he says something, why does he want that out there in that way at this time? So as part of the larger picture, as part of laying the groundwork for their arrival at the meetings, why does he want this particular news cycle to go this way before he starts negotiating with any other teams?
Yeah, no, I think part of it, I think you're right to a certain extent. This does happen occasionally. I can't remember if it happened last year or the year before, but I remember prior to 2016, we definitely met up with Theo, or maybe it was 2015. When they re-signed Jason Hamill, I remember going out there and talking to them before the winter meetings. There, maybe it hasn't happened since then, but I guess it's just to get his message across. It's as simple as to set expectations. Maybe it's as simple as that. It's to kind of reiterate there has been some rumblings about Bryce Harper, right? are the Cubs in, are the Cubs out? Maybe it's to kind of reset those expectations and say, here's where we are, here's what we're kind of looking at, and can something crazy happen? Sure, never rule anything out, but remember, this is what we're working with. This is we do have a budget. We do, you know, I do believe in this team, in this group. So there's probably different reasons. Maybe it's just as simple as people were texting and bugging Jed and Theo, like, hey, can I get a couple quotes? Because I know I was. So it could be as simple as that. Well, everybody wants to talk to us. Maybe just set something up so we can get all kill two birds with one stone there. But you're right. There's also a message to get across and make sure that it's splashed across, you know, headlines on The Athletic, The Sun Times, The Tribune, and every TV news station at the 10 p.m.
Just quickly here, Saad, with two players, the expectation on Yu Darvish is that he will be ready to go at the start of the season. Is that correct? That's the essence of where he's at?
Yes. What Theo said was, I want to say that he had a PJ Mainville, their trainer, had a great report, like A-plus report. I believe that was the wording on when he went and saw Yu recently. So there's nothing that suggests he won't be where he needs to be come spring training. You know, post-surgery things happen. So I don't want to guarantee that. And I'm sure Theo wouldn't guarantee anything. But yes, he seems on pace to be ready to go.
And then do you get the sense that there is any internal hope that Tyler Chatwood can return to something?
Yeah, I think there always is that hope when players disappoint. You can't completely change your evaluation, right? Can you? I mean, unless the guy's hurt, or they find out some makeup issues or something like that, unearth something like that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I would assume that one dreadful season, sure, it's going to turn off all the fans and many media members. I understand that. That's completely normal and should be expected. But they had a certain evaluation of this guy. Unless they completely missed something along the way, there should be some sort of hope that you can fix something, at the very least salvage something out of him. Obviously, you know, if he's in the rotation to start the season, something went wrong, or he, you know, just magically found his command in the spring and they just couldn't keep him out. I just don't see that really happening. But yeah, I would think that there is some hope there. They're going to work hard to figure something out, but there's no quick fix there. There's nothing. I wouldn't, you know, be putting any money on Tyler Chatwood, you know, being a linchpin for the bullpen or the rotation next season.
There's always Markel Fultz's doctor if you want to take him there. So I'd appreciate the time.
Thanks,
thank
man.
You.
Yep, of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.